Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, and despite being in Texas less than 24 hours ago, me and B are in the prison cell studio. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I'm good, brother. What's happening with you?
Obviously, there's so much football to discuss. Washington has another kind of miracle win at the end, and that's going to mask a lot of what was a pretty ugly football game. There's so much excitement about this matchup with the Bucs coming Sunday night football. Mm-hmm. Clearly, nationally, they want Jaden. I don't know how much more obvious you need to see that's the biggest stage, the wild card weekend, NBC, oh, yeah. Sunday night football.
7:30.
Dude, it's going to be wild. And it's so exciting and cool. Let's start with any concern about the mild leg soreness, because we're going to hear about this all week.
No, I have no concern. Listen, from what I've heard from some people that they didn't plan on taking him out the game, but I always thought that he would come out of that game at some point.
So did I.
I thought it would be a different circumstance. Maybe they'd be up or something like that. But once things started happening around the league, in a sense, you're looking at the fact that we're in a playoff. That's what they want to be. And I think at that point, him finishing up the game and risking Lucas is not playing. Piatek is not playing.
Yeah.
Risking further injury or risking something injury was not necessary. And I thought that's the reason that they did what they did.
Jaden got sacked twice on the first three snaps.
Yes.
And it was Micah Parsons who was playing whatever. He was playing to impress Dan Quinn, playing for incentives, whatever. He was shredding them. Offensively, they were awful. Jaden was under pressure pretty much the whole time. Hell yeah, get him out.
Yeah.
I thought we'd see Mariota in this game regardless. I wasn't necessarily expecting it to be a full second half, and obviously how the finish and everything. Mariota has been really good when he's gone in for them, man. Yesterday he finished 15 of 18 with a 160 through the air, 2 touchdowns. Also ran 5 times for 56 yards with another touchdown. You got to applaud. I think Brian Johnson deserves a big chunk of the credit. But certainly Peters and the personnel team to identify Mariota as the right guy to be the backup. And with a rookie quarterback, a rookie number 2 overall pick quarterback, you need a player that can help you should he have to go in the game.
Yeah.
But you also need the right person. And Marcus has clearly been that guy.
I think the 2 times he's gone in this year, he's shown that he's capable as a player for you. But I think the behind-the-scenes things that he's done, catching him on tape talking to Jaden prior to the game 2 weeks ago, those things, that constant, you know, supporting and being a mentor for him has been more important than those 2 times he's gone into the game. And you watch him, he may not be what he was when he was at Oregon when he came out, but he damn sure is still close to it.
And I think he can read NFL defenses and identify where to get the ball out to. The throw to Terry at the end was just so exciting. It's funny. We're all sitting in the press box.
Well, I saw that play was the same one he threw early, a little high. He brought it down a little bit, and Terry did what Terry does.
Well, it
went and got it.
I mean, in that moment, the Bears-Packers game was ending at identically as the Commanders-Cowboys game was ending. And there was real question. I mean, the Packers took the lead. Washington is losing. All of a sudden, it's like, all right, that we're going to Philly, and they're going to be the 7 seed, and they're going to cough up the 6 seed. And then Mariota busts the long run, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to talk about the last play.
Yeah.
But the 4th-and-1, and Mariota just keeps it when the kid Malik Hooker's celebrating because they thought they had him down, and he just wiggled out and kept going. It was pretty damn funny. But I really wanted – I don't know why, right? Because there's a lot of good people that are tied for the record as it sits right now. But just like on a human level, I really wanted Terry to get the single season touchdown record.
He did.
He didn't until the last play of the game.
Hey, it ain't over till it's over.
Right. I'm really happy he got it. And in that fashion, it's just so crazy, man. It really is. And, you know, it was Ricky Sanders, Charlie Taylor, Jerry Smith, and Hugh Taylor were all tied for 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now Terry stands alone at 13. The nature of receiving records is such that some of these might be hard for him to ever catch, like the single yardage season that Santana had or whatever. But you want Terry to start getting his name in some record books. And I was really glad that happened. I mean, just an absolute hell of a football play, too.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you watched him. We saw in that game, I saw a lot of resilience. I saw a lot of making up for what happened earlier. OZ, early in the game, you're going, what the hell? And then at the end of the game, two fantastic catches. You know, Terry wasn't involved a lot early, but he became the man down the stretch. So that team has shown you throughout. And if you look at their coach, Dan Quinn, I know what everybody was saying in the beginning of the year and all that, what they were thinking, but they have taken on his personality. And they don't quit.
Totally. I mean, the last four games, when they went to the bye at 7-5, a lot of folks weren't exactly sure how it was going to go, right? They had four games left. Most people were saying, all right, if they can go 2-2, they'll get in with 9 wins. They went 4-0. Every single game came down to the wire.
5. It wasn't supposed to go on to 8-5.
They were 8-5 after the Titans game. Sorry. Dude, because New Orleans went down to the wire,
yeah.
Even with a fake clock management. Philly, obviously. Atlanta, obviously. And then yesterday. And you got to look at it from like a bunch of different angles, clearly.
But think about it. In stressful situations, they have the ability to calm down and make things happen. And that's all you can see. I mean, it's been five games right there where it happened like that. And if we go farther into the early part of the season, hell, the pass to Terry against the Bengals, same type of situation.
Bro, the Hail Mary.
You know, all those things, it just shows you they have a belief in themselves now that is unlike some things we've seen prior.
I believe the only, like, close down-to-the-wire game they've lost was the Steelers game at home that dropped them to 7-3. You're mm-hmm. right. They were 8-5 at the bye because they beat the Titans there. They had the 3-game losing streak and then beat the Titans. But to finish the way they have, it's going to be hard. What Washington is doing is hard to quantify. Like it's really difficult to put an empirical data set to it because.
See, that's the thing about it, Jay. There's more to football than just data.
Totally.
That heart thing, that resilience thing, all that. Nobody can tell me anything about that when they come with these numbers and analytics and all that. That makes the world of difference.
I totally agree. But at the same time, now that you know it's Tampa, you know the weapons they have offensively, defensively, you know what you're facing. You know you get a week one rematch. This team, Washington, is significantly better than mm-hmm. they were week one. But I bet Tampa is too.
Defensively, they're not. They've lost some people on their defense.
A ton in the secondary.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, that started week one. Remember that safety mm-hmm. like broke his leg?
Yeah.
They had to cart him off. The rushing defense has been so woeful over the last month that you really got to try to figure something out. Brian, at this stage, it's January, I don't know what day it is, 6th. Is there stuff they can fix going into Sunday night? Or are they just what they are?
It's not necessarily stuff you can fix, but it's things you can lean to knowing the knowing your competition. Because if they, like I watched yesterday where you had Deron outside, you had John, Newton, and I forgot, they had a different
front four. They've been running with the three.
You can do stuff like that. If you know that Tampa have certain things they love to go to, you can do whatever you can with your personnel to try and take away from that. But you are who you are at this point. You know, I think it comes down in this situation where they've had games where the turnovers popped up, the penalties popped up. You got to be a little bit more keen on those things.
The penalties, some of the stuff yesterday was significantly better than it had been the previous 2 weeks. They only had 5 penalties versus against Atlanta. They had 13. St. Juice still gets hit with the ticky-tack stuff. One of them yesterday I thought was pretty unfair. I think it was like he has this reputation for always holding, so they're just looking for it. The procedural stuff, they did a good job of largely cleaning up yesterday. You can't have silly like offsides and false starts in the playoffs and win games.
Mm-hmm.
The turnovers have been there. You had the one turnover yesterday, but Washington has an undoubted ability. Like, we've seen it so much now that you have to trust it to make plays late when it matters. And Terry McLaurin talks about it as winning time moments. Like, you see it over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Still, you'd love to not start so slow.
Yeah.
See, it's, that's what they all said yesterday, too.
When I watched the game last night, Detroit and Minnesota. Early in that game, I'm watching it, and I'm like, Minnesota is in trouble.
Yeah.
Because Minnesota's a team that has to start fast. Detroit is not that team. Detroit stays around, and all of a sudden they get up on you one time, and then it begins to snowball. Once they started rolling, I knew there was not a chance in hell that Minnesota would come back.
Agreed.
Washington has shown when they get up on you, they run away from you. But they also shown that they can fight back and get some things done. So I just really believe that they have to focus more on they are great at making adjustments. They come out in their second half team. They come out at halftime, they're totally different. They got to find a way to do those adjustments, have a game plan early, or make the adjustments on the fly. You know what I'm saying? And if they could get that done, I think, because when they start rolling, not many people can score with them.
We'll have to circle back to this throughout the week. Jaden was very clear that if they needed this game for the playoffs, he would not have come out of the game, right? And he said he'll be ready to go 100% next week. You'd have to drag him off the field, all these things. But you are going to have that situation. What Jaden has proved at this point is if he's right, they can score with anybody. There's no way. I don't think anybody could kind of doubt that. Defensively, though, you got to be able. It'd be great. The defense has had kind of ups and downs this season, but the last few performances have been among the worst. Now, Jaden's able to be a magician and pull rabbits out of hats, right? But you just wonder, when does that run out? And I think we've talked about it a lot. Like, you need this full team.
Yeah.
I think special teams have been quite good.
What I catch a lot of times, the defense overall performance, it may not have been good, but every time we come back in the end of a game,
they're able to get
stopped. They make a stop somewhere. So they have been just as stand up or clutch as the offense, because we don't get two touchdowns if we don't stop them, you know, and get the ball back to our offense. So they have to get to a point where you don't have to get pushed or pressured for you to stand up. You got to just stand up immediately.
I think, I totally agree. There is a huge, huge kind of personnel thing to watch this week, injury thing, and I don't think it's Jaden Daniels. I think it's Marshawn Lattimore. If you can get Lattimore out there against Mike Evans, those two guys have a crazy history. I mean, that is its own unique thing.
Yep.
But, dude, these corners, Samerson, I thought, had a good game yesterday, but, like, Noah I, Mike Davis, BSJ, that's a tough group to try to match up with a Bucks passing game that's pretty elite. And then I think it's – if you can get Lattimore back, is a total game changer defensively.
Yeah.
I don't know that you get him back.
But I think more than Lattimore, pressure up front will help you out.
Sure.
And the first game.
I was stunned by the lack of pressure on Trey Lance yesterday. I was stunned.
The first game against Tampa, they got to Baker. They just couldn't get him down. So whatever they were doing in the first game, they were beating the offensive line. So if they had the same offensive lineman and they got the same scheme, What you have to do now, when you get to him, take him down.
Sure.
You can't let him slip through all the stuff he was doing.
Baker in that game, I just pulled up the box score. Baker was 24 of 30 for 289 with four touchdowns.
Yeah.
That was a good little precursor of what the Bucs were to become. Now, Godwin's out. He killed him that day. Evans killed him that day. The Bucs are good. At the same time, it's the playoffs. Like, you're not going to get any cupcake.
You're not.
The patty cake portion of the season is over.
And the thing about it, listen, man, I listened to the Jokes a little bit this morning. I was listening to, I saw some other stuff I laid on last night. You're not going to play a perfect football game. But you got to make sure that your mistakes are a little less than the other team. You know what I'm saying? It's all about peaks and valleys. If your peaks are way more than your valleys, you're going to have you can come out at the end of a game. When you hear coaches talking about games turn out to be 3-4 plays, possibly 5, that's real. And you got to make sure if you got the big playability, make it. You get to a quarterback, you got him wrapped up. He should not be able, and I'm just going to say this, and I watch the NFL. Anybody that's listening to me, if you are involved with the Commanders, you can't make tackles standing up on your feet. Go to the damn ground. I watched yesterday, we're trying to push people down. NFL, I don't care how skinny they are, how small, they are strong as hell. They don't just go down. Wrap up, fall to the ground, you normally take the guy down with you. Tackling has to be better.
Absolutely.
I am so sick of, listen, man, when a guy run and just give me a shoulder, as a running back or a stout receiver, like a Terry, that's what I would love. Because you're not taking me to the damn ground. Dude. If you wrap up, know what most players do when you wrap up on them? They worry about somebody coming in and hitting them low, so they probably go down anyway. But if you think you're going to just bump people with a forearm or a shoulder, that ish does not work.
My man Deuce Vaughn yesterday, I mean, he's 5'6", 175.
Yeah.
And
he runs like he's 5'10", 230.
I know. He had 6 for 37. Turpin was really good. Tolbert was really good. We got to have some honest discourse here. I think if Cooper Rush plays that game, I don't know that Washington wins. Because Trey Lance was so bad early. Going into halftime, he missed an easy touchdown throw. I think age 56 makes that touchdown
throw. I said the exact statement yesterday. I was in a suite with all Cowboy fans. And they were like, man, what would you do there? I say, I don't know, man. He has no touch. When he tries to put touch, he throws it too short. And when he lets it fly, he could take your hands off.
What about the little, they ran that little tight end boot that was wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And he just gassed it. Right, the tight end had
the one
shot.
He threw to the back corner.
Right.
It landed 15, like 10, 15 yards out of bounds. Yeah. And his receiver was what, 5'8"?
Yeah, it was Trey Lance ain't good. And there are some raw tools there. The couple times he got loose running, that dude is fast.
He can run.
But
he's an athlete. I don't know about being a quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Washington, 6 seed, Sunday Night Football, Wild Card Weekend, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're going to open the phone lines up at 11. Plus, we got to talk about our drives in today. It wasn't that bad. Everybody be safe out there. It's B. Mitchell Finley. We're just getting warmed up.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Football fans, buckle up, because for the first time ever, we've got 5 straight days of playoff football in college and the pros. And FanDuel is celebrating with a great playoff payoff. That's a no-sweat same-game parlay every day, all 5 days. With a no-sweat same-game parlay, you can combine your bets for the same game for a chance at an even bigger winnings. And if it doesn't hit, you'll get bonus bets back. So not only do we get to watch 5 straight days of playoff football, but that's also 5 chances to win big. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to be part of this epic run. That's FanDuel.com/Brian. It's the great playoff payoff, and it's only on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner on 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Opt-in required. Minimum 3-leg parlay required. Refund issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires 7 days after receipt. Max refund is $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
B. Mitch and Finley, snowy day out there. I texted Cameron to see if he can come on. I know those guys are jamming, so I understand if he can't. Maybe I'll text Amelia, too. Obviously, the Commanders are in the playoffs. Sunday Night Football, it's going to be rocking. Today, though, in D.C., the snow is just... This city shuts down for, like, a dusting, and there's a lot going on. How was your ride in, B?
It was eventful. I thought it was going to be uneventful, but as I was riding at one point, I noticed that they might have cleaned the road off maybe 2 or 3 hours prior. But as I began to come in, the left side was still, like, nobody had touched it. The right side, you can see people were going on that. So I started riding down the right side. And then you get to a point where it's just piles and clumps of snow. And the car took a little slide for a little bit. And I decided, okay, I'm going to just slow this thing down. And,
you think it was ice?
It was ice. And so I start riding, and I'm noticing people come behind me. I'm like, hey, go on past me if you want to go, bro. Because I'm not picking up no more speed for you.
Was so you're and on I saw 66?
A city bus. Like, not a city, but like a Greyhound big bus. Yeah. Took a little slide a little bit. I'm like, you go where the hell you want to go. I remember when I was in Jersey. I decided I'm going to just chill. And I saw the truck, wrecker truck. I saw buses in the ditch. Because they just think they can ride. If they're going into the ditch, I'm not trying to speed to get anywhere. If I had walked in at 10:10 a day, I wouldn't have been mad. Because right. I'm going to get here safely.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not going
to
rush.
Did you have to dig your car out this morning? Or did you
park
it
in the garage?
Nah,
bro. I parked in the garage.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have
my first time parking in the garage in...
Years?
Yeah, I don't. I always park right in the front of my house.
Right, I've seen with that.
But I had enough stalls, so I came in last night. I went in. I moved some stuff back, and I realized how big that damn garage is.
I don't have a garage, and had to dig out this morning, and then drive down. So were you on 66? Which way did you go this morning?
66.
Was that fairly clear or not really?
What do you mean clear as far as traffic?
Traffic and snow wise.
No. Snow wise, they might have cleaned it. I left my house at 8 something. So they probably cleaned it around 6 something. Maybe at the latest 7. Snow has gotten back on the road. And they need to go back and scrape it one more time.
Well, it also hasn't stopped snowing. I don't know that right now.
It was kind of like sleeting more.
Yeah, the plows and the salt trucks, whatever, are probably having a tough time keeping
up. Well, on 28 going 266. There were 9 trucks. They staggered each other.
Yeah.
It was 9 trucks. I counted all of them.
Wow.
Going down 28.
So my ride in was interesting. So getting out of my neighborhood was testy, right? And especially I live on that big ass hill.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting out of my neighborhood was kind of testy. Then I get onto Mass Avenue, and Mass was okay. Now it's kind of just one lane. You know, it's a 2-lane road, but it's just one lane of, like, drivable. And that was okay kind of until up at AU. And then one of the biggest problems with driving in the snow, whatever speed you want to go, whether it's slow or fast, like, whatever speed you want, you have to maintain
that speed. Yeah.
You cannot be stopping and starting and braking. And for my drive, right around AU, there were just all these morons hitting the brakes all the time. And that is far more dangerous than anything else.
Yeah.
That's how you get stuck. So whatever, I ended up kind of going to, like, I had to pass this one dude. It was just unbelievable. But it was pretty much cool until, dude, so I was a little worried, I guess. But anxious. So I'm going down Mass, and then at Waterside Drive, right by that big mosque is where I cut down to Rock Creek. And I was worried about that because as much as you're in downtown D.C., like, that's the woods right there. And that was touch and go, dude, because it's a steep downhill with a bunch of curves. And then once I got on Rock Creek, good amount of snow, but nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
The wildest thing, and Jeff, I doubt you would be coming in from this way, but I wonder if the Junks will see it maybe. Bro, so I finally get to 695, and it's not great. I thought the highway would be way better.
Nah.
Dude, 695, where you come around, and we get off at the South Capitol Nats Park exit, there was a Dodge Charger. They still make Camaros. It wasn't a Corvette, but it was like a sports car.
Charger?
I guess. Friday. Yo, it spun out right at the exit.
Mm.
So this car is like perpendicular to, like, you got to be paying attention and going slow to, like, go around it. Otherwise, like,
you might hit him.
Somebody's going to T-bone that thing.
This is one question I want to ask. Why do you think, is nobody on the road today? Why the hell was the toll so high?
What, was it still high?
It was $30 to come from the Beltway to D.C.
And really?
I'm like, why?
They don't want you on the road.
Yeah, but my ultimate—it's like normally when the traffic is high, that's when they're more expensive. But that's not many people out there today.
Yeah,
and listen, they say that thing just happens on its own. No, I think it's some ass sitting there just punching high tolls.
Jeff, how was your ride in, or did you get a hotel?
Nah, I drove in this morning. I should have took the offer for the hotel because coming in from my side of D.C., they did not do anything.
There wasn't a lot done.
And especially on, that's why I tweeted, if you don't have to come out, don't come out. Because even, I come down like this little, we all know bridges and overpasses, they freeze first.
Yeah.
It seemed like the plows tried to get the main road, but they just said, we not turning off on the overpasses and things and shoveling that. But luckily I have four-wheel drive, so it was still tricky though. If you do not have a truck, stay in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. If I didn't have four wheel, I think it. Leadville, did you get a hotel or did you drive in this morning?
No, I stayed here at the station.
You just slept here?
Yeah, I slept in the green room.
Didn't CK offer a hotel?
Yeah, I don't care. I'm not sharing a hotel with Matt Essick. That sounds like hell on earth.
You had to share the hotels?
Yeah.
Oh, that's different.
That'd always be a no for me.
Yeah, that's a no for me, dog.
I don't sleep in no damn room with no dude.
Are you going to stay here again?
No, I'll go home.
Okay. Because you have like a sedan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be careful, seriously. I think some ways, like, we hype up driving in snow a little too much. Like, it's not the absolute end of the world.
It's not.
But it is.
Just slow down.
Yeah, it's snowing out there. Just try to be smart.
Just like if it's raining. When it's raining, and depending on how much rain, slow down a little bit. You don't need to do the speed limit. To hell with the speed limit at that moment.
I'm with you. I hope everybody out there is being safe. How much more snow are we getting? It's supposed to keep snowing.
It's supposed to come back. It's supposed to take a break on like 12 to 4, and it's supposed to come back.
Tonight, right?
Yeah, supposedly.
All right, so according to my app, it's going to snow through noon and then back around 4, like you're saying, B. Here's my question. How are we going to get lunch? What do we do? Jeff, you got snow boots on, dog?
Of course. I love the snowman. Let's go.
Do you?
He's a snowman.
I'm a January baby. I love the snow.
Dude, at least this is a real snowstorm, and, like, my kids are sledding, and they get to enjoy it. I kind of hate all this stuff.
I told Landfill, I said, yo, when I get off work today, I'm going to go in the parking lot, and I'm going to donut.
Smoke a blunt?
Nope, I'm going to donut all in the parking lot.
Yeah, just don't have an accident.
That would
be kind of funny.
I'm not going to crash. I do it every snow. Every time it snow.
Once upon a time, your boy did some donuts in the snow and definitely crashed. I can tell the rest of that story off air, but there were a lot happened there.
You got to know your parking lot, man.
This was all a field. I'll tell you the rest of this story off air because it's almost cost me a year of college. Anyway, I think everybody be safe if you're out there. The snow's going to keep coming down. Yo, it might snow again Saturday, B. Which is when we're leaving again.
I'm gonna probably get out here Friday.
Are you? I'm going
you know,
Saturday.
I like to go early, you know, Jay, so I can find the best golf courses in the area.
I believe it. How was your flight back? It was a scramble drill for me, dude.
We were on like a 777.
Doug, you know what killed me? And I understand my role, and I understand the difference. Like, I'm completely aware of why I can't get on that plane. I have a journalism degree. I understand all of it. But I had to sprint up that ramp where all the team buses were there getting ready for the motorcade to the airport where they had a charter. and I'm literally running by the players. They're like, go, Jay, go. They're all kind of messing with me. I am sprinting to get a taxi cab to get to Love Field to catch this flight out. I'm really glad I did it and made it, because otherwise, like, Tischler, I hope you get out, pal. Like, it's worse here than I was expecting.
Well,
I'm glad I got out, but it was a giant pain in the
ass. They canceled my flight for yesterday. Like,
yours got canceled early.
At 9-something in the morning.
Right.
And then they say, oh, you've been rebooked. It's supposed to be a 7-something flight leaving this morning to go to Atlanta. It got me here at 6:55. Then that got canceled. And they had a 9-something flight leaving Dallas to go to Atlanta, get me here by 9 at night. Yoakum called and said, all right, y'all on the team plane. Dude. And that team plane, you come off the bus, walk on, grab some food. I'm not lying. Within 15 minutes, we were getting ready to take off.
Sure. I frankly don't understand why you're not on it every week. But that's
sometimes I like to go early.
Yeah, but coming out, that's the way to live. The motorcade to the airport. I mean, you're home, whatever.
I was home before 9.
Right. So for me, it wasn't that bad. I got home in the house probably around 11. But it's just, I don't understand. So when I saw you on the field, what was it, 10 a.m., 10:30 a.m. or so? Because that was a noon start. You're like, dog, they already canceled my flight. And I was like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. But at that point, mine was still going. You were going to Dulles. I was going to DCA. And in my mind,
everybody was going to DCA. Everybody kept saying, oh, man, you got to go to DCA. All of them got canceled.
Ours got canceled right at kickoff. And I'm going to tell you the truth. While I was scrambling, trying to figure out a flight and how to get hell to get home and all these things, it kind of distracted me from that god-awful first half. So I'm not that mad at it, because I didn't have to watch just awful, awful football. I think, shout out to Nikki Javala. She gave me a heads up about this one flight. But, dude, if Southwest could keep it flying, why do all the other airlines call it quits? I was on an American flight.
I think a lot of people cancel because the plane didn't get to Dallas.
Yeah.
You know, Southwest probably has some people already there, so they can fly into it. But if the team can't get out of D.C. to get to Dallas or get out of one of these other cities, then they don't have anything to put you on.
Yeah, it just seemed like an itchy cancel finger. You know, the pilot, we get on this plane, and he's like, all right, everybody, you know, really happy you're here. I want you to know I'm not scared of flying, but some of y'all might be. And I was like, what? He goes, here's my recommendation. Everybody loves roller coasters. So when we go through the turbulence, because there will be turbulence, throw your hands up in the air and just enjoy it. And I was like, all right, pilot. That's
probably he stopped by the dispensary on the way to the flight.
I mean, whatever. We got home safe and sound. It was easy, man.
All right.
Speaking of getting home. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, there's only one dude to talk to. It's the MVP of the DMV, John Leahy. And what you get with John is personalized service. John's going to take care of you.
Yep, just like Amy. Amy's mom has dementia, and it became time for her to move in with her daughter. Amy's heart was aching. Seeing her mother, who was once so vibrant and independent, now facing such a significant challenge. Amy felt the right thing to do was to be responsible and make the emotionally difficult decision of selling her mom's Vienna property. John and the Fire Living Group came highly recommended, so Amy reached out, and she's so glad she did. The property sold in only 3 days for $65,000 over the asking price. But not just that, the entire transaction was both hassle-free and headache-free, enabling Amy's mother to move on and settle in smoothly. Looking for your own stress-free transaction? How about a guaranteed offer on your home? Check out those details and more at johnsellsdmv.com. We're talking about my friend John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. And John also knows that life happens. So if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
You know, when you talk about a woman going through moving her mom into a facility because she's got dementia, like, that's real life stuff, and that's the real life stuff that John Leahy and his group can guide you through. Nobody wants to deal with that alone. You need experts that understand tax ramifications, you know, equity in various properties and how you can consolidate that. Some of this stuff ain't as simple as just throwing up a for sale sign, and that's where John can make a difference. Give him a call today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmb.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing. Leahy, I have a question.
Let it snow.
The four of us, the four amigos, four horsemen, have all made it in here, right? Where the hell is White Brian?
He was told he could work remote.
Oh, dog.
Lucky him, right?
Oh, dog. That is not the news I needed this morning. I don't do this often. I'm just going to hold my tongue on that one. all the technology in the world. All the technology in the world. Yeah, I'm going to need you in studio. I have an idea here, and I think it's only fair to bring it up to the group. Normally 11 a.m., we open the phone lines and we do our credit pie after a win, right?
Yeah.
I think that game yesterday was so unique in that they had already clinched the playoffs. At least to my eye, it sure seemed like they didn't have a lot in for that game. Not a lot of specific game plan stuff. And maybe some of that is against Lance. But, like, there weren't a lot of blitzes. Like, they played really pretty basic shell stuff. I think of the credit pie from yesterday, a lot of it could go to Trey Lance, frankly. I think, so instead of credit pie, I kind of, like, it's all eyes on Tampa to me at this point. It is, what do you always say? Look through the windshield. Not the
rearview mirror.
Right. And that Week 18 game was so fluky and weird. And I don't want to take anything away from Marcus, who played great, and Terry made the big catch. But, like, I'm happy if the four of us want to do our credit pies. But to me, I want to talk Tampa. I want to talk how confident these fans feel about going to Tampa Sunday night. And I just think.
And I want to tip my hat to the fans because I think
they were there.
I saw more burgundy and gold than I saw anything else yesterday. And they were there long because they were finding ways to be there. And normally after the game, they make everybody just hurry up and go. They found a way to stay around for a bit.
Dude, so. Like, Jerry always lets, like, 1,000 people out on the field after.
Half of that was bringing in gold.
Dude, there were a ton of Commanders fans there, and everybody's flight was packed with them. Dude sat down next to me on the way back and was like, oh, my God. He was a very nice kid, and we talked about it. It was a very impressive showing, but those damn Dallas fans do have a habit. They have a way of getting pretty loud. Like when things were kind of going their way late in that second half, they were loud. It was a really bizarre environment because I don't want to let anybody off the hook. Like, they did not have a lot of blitz packages in.
No.
But you're still a defensive lineman that's allowed to win the one-on-one matchup in front of you and get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
And they just didn't do it for most of that game. I don't want to sound naive or like Pollyanna-ish, but I think trying to dissect a weird Week 18 game when I'm not entirely convinced. They said how locked in they were. Like, you pulled Jaden at halftime with mild soreness. Like, that's a pretty big message of how you were approaching this game.
Yeah.
I just think we look ahead.
Possibly.
Jeffrey, I know you're going to talk the entire 11 to 11:59 hour.
That's what you said.
As promised, which you have our full support. Are you good with looking ahead to Tampa instead of credit pie?
Yeah, let's do that.
How confident are you for Tampa? Tampa's good.
After yesterday, I'm at like a 70%. Right now.
He'll be at 170 by Sunday.
Oh, wait till the song. He'll be all over it. What do you 70% what?
That we will compete. Once I peak to that 100% that we will win, I feel it, but we gotta have a lot of things gotta go right. I'm nervous. I'm not gonna be lying. I'm nervous. We in uncharted territory here.
I wonder if people feel more nervous from yesterday than they feel confident. Because, yes, they won, and it was a hell of a comeback late. But, like, I don't think the plan in Tampa is going to be Mariota to Terry with 6 seconds left. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think these defensive woes, especially the inability to win at the line of scrimmage for both lines. Yesterday, maybe a lot of that's Biadasz, right?
Yeah.
And I got to talk to him in the locker room afterwards. I certainly think he'll be ready to go. But there's just a lot. There's so much more to look at with this Bucs game. So that's the plan. 800-636-1067. Open them up, Jeffrey. 800-636-1067. How confident are you now that Washington, we know the matchup, we know where they're going. Sunday night, 8 o'clock, Tampa Bay, Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin.
Let's get it.
I mean, this is what you play for. How confident are you, or did yesterday worry you even more than you expected? Nobody go anywhere. B. Mitchell Finley taking your calls next.